just to learn, really, to learn what the perspectives are of the people who live right here in Sandpoint and are closer to the issue and know a lot about it, because we haven't made any decision about what we're doing. These two islands, they're called Chirikov and Woznesensky, and they both have cattle on them, but not humans residing on the islands, and we're concerned about possible resource damage on the island by the cattle, but we don't really know what result. We're not looking for a certain result other than we want the land to be healthy, and what that means and what that looks like is yet to be determined, and that's what we're here to listen to people and learn about the issue. I know in Sandpoint in particular, people have a lot of connection with Woznesensky and the tradition of the cattle being present on the island. So we're here to listen and learn.
Yeah, so that's the kind of the first question that I would have about this. It's, okay, we got two islands here that have cattle on them. Who cares? You know, they're just animals living out here in the middle of nowhere. But obviously it means a lot to you guys, and there's a reason for that. What's the reason that this is a concern to the federal government?
Well, both of these islands are part of Alaska Maritime National Wildlife Refuge, so they have been set aside by Congress as special places for wildlife, and they're two of just lots and lots of islands and lands that are part of this particular National Wildlife Refuge. So Congress has said, hey, Steve and Steve, do your best to take care of these islands for wildlife, and there are certain mandates they put in front of us and say, here's what it means to be taking good care of the refuge, and we're trying to figure out how and if cattle are a part of that broader vision. You know, they're set aside basically to take care of the needs of wildlife first. That's pretty clear, but that's not the only thing that the reason that they exist. And as we've learned already this morning, that there's people who feel very strongly about particularly Woznesensky Island here in this community, the value that meat, that beef resource provides to people here, where the cost of living is expensive, mm-hmm. and people are living off the land. But of course, our job is to take care of it, take care of these islands as special places for wildlife, as national wildlife refuges, and to make them as healthy as we can possibly make them for wild things.
Yeah. So the term that gets tossed around a lot in this conversation is invasive species, from what I've picked up. These cows were not indigenous to these islands, right? They didn't just all of a sudden pop up and naturally appear or evolved or whatever here on these islands. They were brought here for purposes of human consumption, etc. What wildlife are they interfering with? Like, what is native to these islands that are pretty far out there already?
Well, a lot of the islands out in this, surrounded by the ocean, tend to be special places for birds. But there are other things. It depends on which island you're talking about. But on these two islands in particular, I think our areas of natural resource concern are primarily about bird life and about some streams. There's some salmon streams on both of these islands, trying to make sure that the streams are healthy so that they can, you know, sustain good, healthy salmon runs and other fish. And then also archaeological resources, mm-hmm. ancient sites where archaeologists have told us they believe are being violated, being threatened by the cattle, and sort of saying, what are you going to do about it? Another charge I have is to take care of those resources on these public lands. So for us, it's really wildlife and the whole plant community, the natural biodiversity of the island, that includes fish as well as the birds and mammals and things. And plants, and the archaeology, and just kind of fulfilling those refuge purposes. But we also need to listen to people.
Yeah.
And people are important, too.
Yeah, because these cattle were obviously owned at some point in time, and there was land that was owned at some point in time by people that were local here. I understand that's been the case in the past, and now these areas are abandoned. and there are no more any lease agreements for grazing rights, et cetera. And so from what I'm picking up from you, you're saying that, you know, we've got all this local and native plant life, and then we've got these large animals eating it all up at a rate that is hazardous for the sustainability of the islands, and maybe this is causing erosion around the streams for salmon, destroying habitat for birds. Would that be a concern that you guys would be looking at?
Yes, in short. I mean, it's not – I don't want to paint a picture like these islands are, you know, scenes of utter desolation and, you know, they look like the moon or anything, because they don't. But there's no question that cattle – important as they are for us as humans, they have an effect. Whether it's, you know, whether it's a ranch in Montana or an island out here, the question is how much of an effect, and can you still fulfill those reasons for the designation of the land as a wildlife refuge with the presence of today's level of grazing, or less grazing, or does it have to be no grazing? And those are the kinds of things we're trying to listen and learn about and sort through as we come to some sort of decision.
Okay, cool. Now, what have you guys been hearing? Like, what are some options? Because I've only lived here for 5 years, but I've heard the stories about what they've done before with previous attempts to exterminate, if you will, cattle. You know, you just kind of hear the stories about bringing helicopters and just taking them down and then flying them out. And, you know, people always tell it, I don't know how much of it's a fisherman's tale that I'm getting out of it. You know, I hear stories about, like, them flying in with 50 calibers and just opening up on herds. And it's like, well, that may be a little bit excessive, you know. But what would you guys, you know, what are some of the options here that you guys would consider? And what are you hearing from people that, okay, the government would maybe like to see these animals gone, but what would be an alternative that you guys are hearing from people here that we would like to see that you would consider viable?
Well, first I want to compliment everybody here in the community. This is my first trip to Sandpoint, and it's been great so far, and people have been really gracious, you know, and they'll have strong feelings either of poor treatment by federal officials in earlier times, or questioning why this is such a big deal, why here, why worry about, you know, Wasnesensky Island. But everybody has been nothing but kind and very gracious, and I want to thank your listeners for that, and hopefully we can have more of that this evening at this forum this evening, just you know, kind of friendly, cordial discussion. But I'm hearing, you know, I've heard from folks more than just Sandpoint, but I'd have to say from the Sandpoint perspective so far that I've heard from people, it's either, we prefer to just leave them alone, just don't do anything, or develop some sort of a management plan where there's some sort of authorized grazing program to keep the cattle on the land. I've had other people from other places tell me they don't belong and they should be they shouldn't be present anymore, but I have not heard that from folks here in Sandpoint.
Yeah. So maybe like a lottery system akin to what we do with the buffalo, where, you know, you could buy a ticket and go and keep the cattle at a reasonable, maintainable level. Because, you know, here at Wasnesensky, we have what, like 90 head or something along that lines? I'm sure that's hard for you guys to get a real figure, but it's not an enormous amount of cattle. But Chirikov's not the same. They have a much larger herd in Chirikov.
Yeah, Chirikov. You know, we don't really have a good count of the cattle on either island because we haven't flown over. You'd have to count them every year to know because the population ebbs and flows. But our best guess at Chirikov is somewhere around 800 cattle. But it's a much larger island too. But
but
a lot of animals, and you know, we've been. Using the figure of 200 on Wasnesensky, although Dave Osterback has been very helpful and talked with him, and he pins the number at probably more like in the neighborhood of 100 or so right now. And so I don't know the answer, but it, you know, it's probably somewhere in that range.
Okay, interesting.
And we really don't have, you know, we don't have an answer yet. We're just kind of in this idea generation phase. So I would say the most folks that I've talked to so far from the community here have been about hoping to maintain some level of cattle presence on the island. But,
yeah,
of course, it's a big old world out there, too, and there are people other than in Sandpoint who's, you know, who have a valid point of view, too, and we need to listen to everybody.
Absolutely. So the next step from here, you guys are gathering ideas and information, talking to people. Would an environmental impact study be the next step in this process? Where do you guys go from here?
I'm going to let the other Steve have a chance. I've been hogging the mic, and he can kind of explain the process that we're in.
Okay.
So we're following the National Environmental Policy Act procedures, and it's a planning process, and it begins with scoping, where we've identified an issue, and that is grazing on National Wildlife Refuge lands, and it's a problem. It's an issue that's gone on for a long time. We have heard concerns from people who are interested in resource protection and also protection of the livestock on those islands. So we formally started a scoping process, and we started in Homer, and we visited Kodiak, and now we are in Sandpoint. And if there's feel like it's highly justified and there's a lot of interest to go someplace else, we could. And that's getting input as to from people what the issues are. We will write a document. We'll probably write two documents, one for each island, that will outline alternatives on how to deal with this issue. But at this point, we're identifying what people think the issues are.
Yeah.
And we've heard from archaeologists that says, you are not protecting the archaeological resources, a finite resource on the island. Their vegetation is gone. The sites are blowing away. They're disappearing in the sea. And you're not fulfilling your responsibilities. And we also hear, of course, today we heard a lot about how the livestock is very important to the community as a source of food and a source of meat, and we have some responsibility there. So those will be discussed, and a document for each island will be written that outlines alternatives, what to do. And frankly, with grazing and ungulates and conservation areas, typical suggestions are reducing the herd to some lower level, fencing animals out of sensitive areas,
yeah,
or removal, either by capturing transport or by shooting. Another one that comes up, and it's just specialized cases, and that would be like using reproductive inhibitors, sterilizing one gender or both genders so that they don't reproduce, and that over time the herd size reduces, maybe eliminates entirely. And that actually was done in cooperation. Well, we cooperated with another group on Alaska to sterilize male horses on Summers Bay. And that was to end the reproduction of that herd and that isolated herd on that island.
That must have been very intensive to do that many animals that are feral animals.
Every male animal had to be handled. But those animals were approachable. They had been fed by people. They'd been around people for years. Way different than on Woznesensky or Chirikoff Island. So after those alternatives are drafted, and it's just a draft document for each island, those go out to the agency, the state agency, the Division of Agriculture, Fish and Game has expressed interest. We say, what do you think about it? You're the experts. What of these alternatives seems reasonable to deal with the issue of grazing on these two refuge islands? And it'll also go out to the public for comment. So once again, and I don't know because we don't have a budget, but I suspect that we might be back in Sandpoint to present those alternatives so that people that have read the document or haven't read the document at least understand what they are. And then those comments on those specific alternatives for those two islands will be collected, and that will be presented to a decision maker, which is somebody that's higher graded than Steve Delahunty and myself and in Anchorage probably. And that decision maker will say, this is the alternative on this island, and this is the alternative to pursue on that other island.
Okay.
And that's the process.
Okay, so there we are really in the embryonic stages of things here.
Yes.
This is the very beginning. And we're glad that we were able to have you guys here to talk about this and get involved in the conversation going on about it. One thing that I'd like to bring up, and this is about Chirikoff, obviously the main interests are Woznesensky, and the cattle here for local consumption. We had a discussion with someone earlier today. He's a biologist working out of Palmer at the experimental livestock research facility up there that's part of the UAF project. His name was Matthew Cronin, Dr. Matthew Cronin. You're shaking your, nodding your
head. Well, I talked with him yesterday, yes.
Did you? Yeah, we had him on the air today. And since, I'm glad you talked to him because that what his research has identified is that the cattle on Chirikov have a very diverse genetic difference from most other livestock. So for some reason, this is a special breed. And it doesn't really share a lot of similarities with cattle that we normally work with in the United States. Now, I think that they've identified that this may be related to a Siberian cattle breed or something like that. It makes them particularly well-bred for cold weather and things of that nature. Now, would exterminating livestock with this significant genetic difference be a wise thing for the federal government to do? Or would maybe, you know, keeping this genetic animal alive with their benefits be something that could be of value? As a biologist, what are your opinions on that?
I would not want to be a part that eliminates a unique genetic pool that would be useful in conservation or for humans.
Yeah.
And I don't think that conserving the genetic integrity of those of either one of those herds is precludes reducing or eliminating grazing on both those islands. I also wouldn't debate without the guy here nailing down, you know, exactly the meaning of the study. And that's what we had talked about before when I talked to him on this. So I'm not going to do it here, but
yeah.
Every group is unique. There's no other group exactly genetically like another group.
Absolutely.
And yet they're similar. So those cattle in Chirikov are animals. They're ungulates, they're bovine, and they're cattle. And they have a whole lot of genes similar to other cattle.
I think 14% was what they were talking about.
So the point is what is unique? And then how have you determined that? Have you compared it with a very large number of breeds and other cattle within the region? Or have you selectively compared them to very unusual animals elsewhere? Siberian cattle, it was established only as a breed in the 1950s.
Okay.
These animals were stocked in the 1880s.
Oh, interesting. So, yeah, I know that it was a really interesting discussion that we had with him today. And I just thought it was awesome that we had you here as well. You know, similar field, similar knowledge base. And I had to kind of get your thoughts on that just for...
Matt's a good guy, and I enjoy talking with him.
We did, too. He definitely seemed like a good guy. I see Steve making a vi here for the microphone.
Oh, yeah. One mic, two people. That's a dangerous thing. I am not a geneticist, so I'm not going to... I'm not qualified to debate the merits of any study about that. But, you know, my feeling is if it doesn't... At some point, it doesn't matter. If the genetics are important to somebody, whether that's a good reason or a bad reason, and they want to get some and retain them, you know, I hope we could find a way to try and facilitate that. I mean, if they're, that doesn't mean it necessarily has to be on Chirikov Island or Woznesensky Island or where, or any other certain place. And so I have tried to studiously avoid getting into debates about the value of the genetics or the value of the meat. You know, you can make the argument that it's cheaper to, you know, whatever, buy beef from someplace and ship it somewhere or whatever. But to me, if it's important to somebody, then we need to listen to those people and kind of respect that point of view. So that's been my stance. Is I'm not going to debate the resource values. I'll acknowledge that, but simply say if they're really important to the world to preserve, maybe should that or should that not be on Chirikov Island, for example? And that's a kind of a whole different question.
Yeah, we're kind of dealing with two separate issues here that are converging as the real world does. You know, the world doesn't happen in a vacuum in science or in life, and so you're seeing these differences come together. Well, I've taken enough of your guys' time, I think, today. I really appreciate you guys coming in. Is there anything, now that you have an open mic and an audience, that you would like to say before, you know, you get ready for the meeting tonight? And again, this meeting with Steve here from the U.S., I'm going to butcher it, Marine Wildlife Refuge, Maritime Marine Maritime.
Alaska Maritime National Wildlife Refuge. It's a mouthful.
It is.
Just those, Steve and Steve, that'll work.
Steve and Steve, and they're here for the federal government, and they're in charge of taking care of the Marine Wildlife Refuge. They will be presenting tonight, 7 p.m. at the QTT Rec Center. So make sure you're there. Very important topic. They're talking about the Wazazinski cattle, a resource that we've had at our access for many years. And, you know, they're talking about what the future of these cattle are going to be. So if you have an opinion, they want to hear it. So get on down there tonight, 7 p.m. But again, what final words from you guys?
Well, I'd second that and remind people that I hope I do more listening than talking, or at least as much listening as I do talking. It's not so much about us presenting information as it is just saying, we are trying to figure out what to do, and I think people here in Sandpoint are well positioned to be, you know, to offer their opinion. So I hope folks do come out, and I'm sure they will be as gracious as everyone else has been to us here tonight, and give their ideas, their opinions, whatever it is they want to do. And there's an excellent mechanism. There'll be a handout available for people that has an email address and things where they can send in their comments to be fully considered in this whole planning process. So, more than anything else, I just want to say thank you. The people of Sandpoint have been great hosts so far, and as I said, it's my first visit to the community. It strikes me as a rich, vibrant community, and I'm enjoying being here, and I'll look forward to meeting more people this evening. And thank you for being such great hosts.
Awesome, thanks, Steve. Steve, anything for you?
I'm just really glad to be back on Pop Off Island. I like Sandpoint. I've been here in and out over the past decade, and Acutan I've been into more frequently, and I love the little island communities, Atka a few times, never been to Nikolski. So if nothing else, the process that we're going through has brought me to Kodiak once again and Sandpoint. So
awesome.
Like it.
What are they saying on Kodiak, by the way? What I got, are they defending their cattle over there on Chirikov, or are they just saying have at it? What I know I said those are the final words, but that just popped in my mind right there. I had to ask you.
Oh, that's fine. We met with the community at large, and I heard a range of comments from people, some at the meeting and some people who weren't as comfortable coming out, you know, in public with their viewpoint and pulled me aside afterwards and spoke with me or called me later. But I heard from people saying, you know, everything from leave those cattle alone to get rid of all the cattle. They don't belong there. And then I heard viewpoints that were in between, which was, can you find a way to manage the herd, reduce the size? We agree that the status quo isn't good, but, gee, it would be a shame to have them all gone. So it really was a range of opinions. Frankly, the dominant opinion was find a way to keep cattle on the island, but that was in part because if the people who were most engaged in the issue were people who felt passionately about that, and that's who came forward. But there were that whole range of opinions was present there in Kodiak.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, guys. Again, this is Steve and Steve, and they're going to be here tonight listening to people's thoughts on the Wazazinski cattle and the Chirikov cattle, 7 p.m. at the QTT Rec Center. All right, thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate you coming in.
Thanks for having us.
All right, we're going to get back to our regularly scheduled programming on NPR, so here's All Things Considered. Thanks for tuning in on KSTP.